hearts and minds, and certainly be praying for him. That everything will be all right. I'm trying to talk and write at the same time. It's pretty hard. Pretty hard. Book of John, the 9th chapter, if you found it tonight and like to follow along with us. Reading one verse, and that's verse 4 this evening. Jesus was speaking here. You remember the story before about the man that was born blind and the question about who did sin? Was it him or his parents? But Christ said in verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Just that one verse. And the thought that we would have tonight for our text is working while it is day. And there's a song that goes along with that. It says, we'll work till Jesus comes. Well, it's easy to sing that song. The question is, how many of us are still working, trying to get our people in before it's too late, and doing our part? We all have a part to do in the kingdom of God. I cannot perform yours, and you cannot perform mine. We all have our own work that we have to do. And some might come with excuse that they're tired or they're sick. But as I was driving to church tonight, the thought came to me, how many of us has ever gone to our physical jobs when we was tired? Raise your hands, would you? How many of us has ever gone to our physical jobs or done our physical jobs when we was sick? We don't let anything stop us unless we're just bedfast. But when it comes to the work of God, so many have so many excuses. We go to our physical jobs because if we don't, there's a cost associated with it. If you don't work, you don't get the paycheck. And it's easy for people to say it's just one service. But how many people do you and I know that one service led to two, which led to three, and then they just disappeared because they got away from what God had called them to do. We're all saved unto good works, and I believe that we ought to work to the best of our ability for God. It might be through prayer, singing a song, preaching of a message, visitation. It might be that you just carry a burden for those, or even attendance in the church house. But we've all got a job to do for the Lord, and we've all got to give an account for ourselves for what we do. And you say, well, that happened when we get to heaven. No, we'll give an account while we're here of what we've done for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches us here that Christ told them, I must work the works of him that sent me. Speaking about his Father, he knew that his time was short. How many of us know that our time is short to work for the Lord? In fact, we've got less time today than we've ever had because time is getting away from us. Christ said, I have just a few days to work. And I have to get done everything that I can to show the world that I came from my Father to save those that are lost and undying before they die and go to hell for eternity. I have to say, he did more work in his 3 1/3 years than the rest of the world put together. The Bible says in the last chapter of the book of John that he performed so many works that the world could not contain the volume of books. That's how many miracles that he performed. And after he died on the cross, all of us is part of the work that he did. We're the benefactors of him dying on the cross and giving his life for us. But he said, while it is day, we must work. He's not, you know, the word day, we think it means while it's daylight. But in Scripture, the word work or day means a specific time. And we've all got a specific time to work. And if we don't do our work in that time period, then we've missed our opportunity. It's an opportune time. And people say, well, the world is so bad, there's no way we can get anything done. This is the best of times to be trying to tell a lost and dying world that Jesus lives and he lives forevermore. Scripture tells us when we look at the day that it is the opportune time for us to do the things that God has called us to do. The word day in the Bible refers to many different things, but going back and looking at the Scripture, the writer said, while we have breath, let us praise the Lord. What he's saying is, while we are alive, let us praise the Lord, because we're not always going to be able to praise him. We've gathered here tonight in the church, and I have never been in a situation other than some infrequent sickness that would come along. But there are many folks that are praising the Lord upon their bed because they can't get out. They don't have the strength to get out, and they're still lifting up the name of Jesus Christ. Sister Ruby told me on our homecoming, she said, I can't get here, but I'm still praying for you. And that just thrilled my heart. If someone in her condition can still work, we all have no excuse not to be working for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches us that while we have strength, we ought to be working for God. Because as I look at this audience, excluding a few on this side in the back, there's not many of us left that can still do the things that we used to do. And we notice that our strength is failing daily. And as we get further down life's journey, our strength is going to get to the point that we may have to have a stick or have somebody to help us to get in and get out. So while we have strength, I've heard many folks say it like this, Kenny, when I retire, I'm going to work for the Lord and give him all of my time. There's only a couple problems with that. One, you may not get to retire. God may call before you get that opportunity. And if you do make it to retirement, you may not be able to work for God. So we better do it while we can. Work for him. And the day means while we have the burden. You can't work if you don't have a burden. And so many folks are trying to do something for God and don't have the burden. You know what the burden does? The burden keeps us focused on what's at hand. The burden is there for our people that are lost and those that are away from God, that we might be able, Lord, just help me do something that they might see how true and alive that you are. In fact, in 1 Peter, he says it like this. He talks about the day of visitation, that they might be able to see our troubles that we've gone through and know that it was God by our works that blessed us and gave us the strength to do so. How many people look at our lives and say, I know God has visited me because of that person. When we look back in our lives, how many of us have got folks today that made such a big difference in our Christian life as we was growing up because we watched their life? And when troubles come, they didn't throw up their hands and quit. They'd go to church and praise the Lord like everything was all right. They'd be there praying and singing and just working as if everything, they knew God was able to take care of it. And they was trusting in his hand and for his will to be done. While it is day is why we have a desire. You know, many of our people today have lost their desire to work for God. I really believe this tonight. That's why we see so many people congregating at the mega churches, because they have no desire to work. They just want to be a spectator. If you join a small church, there's going to be expectations of you doing some work. Amen? Because one or two can't do it all. We need everybody. And I'm glad some of our newest members smiled when they said that. It's a joy to work for God and to work for the church and to have brothers and sisters that you really love and enjoy being with. David said that the living should praise the Lord. The living, those that, while it is day, let us praise the Lord. In fact, Scripture says, let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. While it is day, while we have this window of time that we can work, we ought to be working and trying to get our people in, because if we don't, the cost is too high. I said earlier in the message that if we didn't go to our physical jobs, it affected our pay. If we don't do the jobs that God has given us to do, if we don't do our work, there's a great cost attached to it. Your people and mine. I still can't understand how people can get saved and then just disappear with no concern for their children or for their loved ones getting saved. I believe that when you get saved, you want to see everybody in your family get saved. You want to work and show them that there is a difference. I like Brother Holcomb's testimony in that the people at the workplace said it wouldn't last 30 days. You know what? He wanted to work. He had a desire to prove the world wrong and to show them what I got was not just by joining a church, wasn't just by going and attending some seminar. I got something that on an old-fashioned altar of prayer that started my life anew in Jesus Christ. And that's what we need today. And often, I don't know about you, but often I ask myself, am I really making a difference? And you think about that. Are you making a difference in people's lives around you? Are we making a difference when we go to church? Or is it just that we've gotten into a routine? And, you know, they expect me to be there, so I better be there. And some churches, they say it like this: I got to go because if I don't, I'll hear from the pastor. And you know, you hear it as well as I do. That's why I am so reluctant when somebody is even sick to call them, because I don't want them to think, Brother Kenny, that I am checking up on them to make sure that they're coming back. I don't want to pester anybody. I want you to know we love you and we miss you, but still, I believe that we ought to be able to have confidence that when people miss, they will be back. And if they don't come back, we need to find out why. Amen? Because they're not working. And the Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. So if they're not eating from God's spiritual table, the devil is feeding them. And what he feeds them, folks, it'll take God to remove that out of them. Because the devil's got a lot of foolishness that he is feeding our people, and they are swallowing it hook, line, and sinker. Look around us today at what's going on. Does anybody else ever ask yourself, am I really making a difference? Am I making a difference to my friends and my co-workers, to my family, to those that we love so much, and to your families? and friends and loved ones? Are we making a difference that they see us and they say, I'd like to have what they have? I said it on Sunday. This past month was one of the highest overdose in Hamilton County that has been recorded. People are looking for something to change their lives. And there's only one thing that will change their life, and that's God. When God comes in, He changes our lives, Jack. And He makes what is darkness into light. He said in the next verse, He said, I am the light of the world. But He also says in the scripture, when I go away, ye are the light of the world. We are the ones that have to let our light shine so the world can see. God's not dead. He's alive and well. I talked to Him today. Did you? I know He's alive. We need to work while it's day because the night is truly coming. You say, what does the night represent? The night represents, one, is death. When death comes, in fact, David said it like this, the grave cannot praise thee, Lord. The dead. In fact, he says, the preacher said in the 9th chapter of Ecclesiastes that there is no work in the grave. Once we close our eyes in death, our work is over with. And in the book of Revelations, he says it like this, blessed are the dead which die from henceforth, for we are resting in the Lord, and their works do follow them. We're not going to be doing any more work. How many of you are thankful we're going to a place where there'll be no more work to be done? I know it's Wednesday night, but y'all can still get excited about, you know, I don't mind work. And I guess I'm of a different era and time. I'll work until the sun goes down. I'll work even if it's dark, if there's something that has to be done. But in the spiritual realm, today we need to be working harder in the spiritual realm than we are in the physical realm. Because one day, y'all's going to get a word, I preached my last message. But don't you weep for me, because I've just gone to a better place where we'll work no more. He says that there is no work in the grave. Not just that, but did you know that if we don't work while it's day, as Christ, or as John the Revelator said in Revelation, the 2nd chapter, to the church that was at Ephesus, he said, if you don't repent, well, first he said it like this. He said, you are fallen. You need to repent, go back to your first works, and or I will come and remove the candlestick out of the midst of the church. You see, if we don't work, God will take His candlestick. What is His candlestick? It's His Spirit. And once the candlestick, once God removes His Spirit from the church, folks, all you've got is an empty building. You say, but it's full of people. It's empty because God's not there. And once God does that, you're in trouble. You are in trouble once the candlestick has been removed. The night also represents when God removes His Spirit from us. There are a lot of people. Now, maybe I shouldn't say a lot of people. There are people that wish God would deal with their hearts one more time. And I know people that are just so far away from God. Many of y'all know that some of those that we have visited in the hospital, and they was up on their deathbed and they knew they was dying, and they said to us that if I could just feel God, if I could just feel God speak to me, I would receive Him. And you see, once God removes His Spirit, I don't care how many preachers, how many elders, how many churches you've got gathered around you, if God removes His Spirit, you're not going to make it. You're going to die and go to hell for eternity. And many of our folks are just putting it off and putting it off. While it is day, they're out doing everything that there is that this world has to offer. But there'll come a night when they'll not be able to do anything else, and it'll be too late for them to call upon the Lord. Kenny, God laid this last thought upon my heart. It becomes night when God puts us on a shelf. You ever known somebody say that God put them on a shelf? Usually you hear preachers say, I don't want God to put me on a shelf. What that means is that God bids you to do the work, bids you do the work, and you wouldn't do it, so God put you on a shelf. And he gave that work to somebody else. Let's not be fooled tonight, church. God will get his work done with us or without us. Amen? And I enjoy God's work. I don't want him to give my work to somebody else to do. How many of you really enjoy working for God? I mean, really enjoy. And the further I get down life's journey, the more I enjoy the work of God. Because I realize that the cost is so high that if we was to neglect to do our duty, in fact, Paul said it like this. He said, I press toward the mark. What he's saying is, I'm working hard. I don't know if there's anybody else in the Bible other than Jesus that worked as hard as Paul did. I really don't. There's others that worked as hard, but I don't know if there's any that worked harder than what Paul did. And Paul said, every day I have to do the work that God has called me. And I don't say that into a negative tone. I'm saying that in a positive tone. It's not laborious to do God's work. It's a joy. Amen? When you see somebody walk down the aisle and say, I give my heart to Jesus Christ, buddy, it don't matter how hard you worked. It is joy that comes. It's almost like when Tiffany had... I gotta remember names now. Kennedy. She's new, okay? You gotta give the old man some leeway here. All that labor was forgotten about once that baby was laid upon her chest. All that pain, all that anxiety and worry was forgotten about. You see, so many have quit working, they've just quit. How many people do you know that said that they was a Christian, said they got saved, and they're nowhere to be found? And you know what? The scripture teaches us this field is big enough for all of us to be in it working. And you know what really disappoints me in a physical sense, especially if somebody's younger than I am, in a physical sense, Emerson, if I'm out there working, and I look over and somebody's not working as hard as I am, I get frustrated. Anybody else want to say amen to that one? Because I'm an old man. They ought to be able to outwork me, right? And if they're not, Mark, you and I have talked about this. But we live in a different time today, church. People don't want to work anymore. Out of the church or in the church. They want, and I say this, and don't y'all hold this against me. And I know Lloyd's a registered Democrat. But he votes opposite, okay? But you see, that mentality in the world has crept into the church. Let me show up. Let me enjoy the service, but don't ask me to do anything. I want to get the same pay all these that are working, but I don't want to do anything. That's in the church. It's in society. And it's in the church. So many have no desire to do anything. They say, but Roger, I paid my tithes. Well, God appreciates that. But as I told, I had this girl at work. Y'all remember this? She's taunting me because she knows I'm a preacher and a pastor. But most of all, I'm a Christian. And she was taunting me, and she said that she was going down to the casino and spending her tithe money. And she said that a couple times to me. And finally, I just looked at her without thinking. I said, you go right ahead, young lady, because if you can do that with it, God can do without it. But you'll have to pay for it. How many of you believe you'll pay for everything you do in life? You'll pay for it. Or you'll be rewarded. And I want to stand before you tonight and say, God is the best paymaster there is. And I believe it grows. The more we do, the more we want to do for Him. Because look how much He did for us. We need to work while it's day, because the night is coming. And I believe the last night that I want to cover is when the trump of God shall sound, declaring that time shall be no more. Ray, that's going to be a wondrous, wonderful day when we hear that trump sound for us that are saved. But for those that are lost, how many of you recall that song? Will any lost one there stay in deep despair? You never mention Him to me. I know that it's not going to be possible. But what a sad thought. Think about all the people you come and I come in contact with each and every day, each week, throughout our life. If somebody would say, I never saw Christ in you, why didn't you tell me about Him? And we would, how disappointing that would be to know that we could have been the one that changed their future. So you see, am I really making a difference? I believe sometimes we need to ask ourselves that. Am I really making a difference in people's lives? And if we're not, we need to try to make a difference, especially in those of our own household. Our own household. Because how many of you got lost in your families? That ought to be the motivation for us to work while it's day. To work harder for God than we've ever worked. Because to reminisce for just a moment, the greatest paydays I've ever received was not when somebody was singing a song and the Spirit was high. It was not when somebody was preaching a message and the Spirit was real high and everybody was rejoicing. You know what the best payday that I have remembering tonight of, remembrance of, is seeing that young man or woman, that old man or old woman, walk down the aisle and give their life to Jesus Christ. That's the best reward that we could ever get. I still remember a revival I preached out at Riverside, and the old man was crippled. And he came out about the third night of the revival. He came out behind the pew back there where Rachel and him's at. And he could barely walk down the aisle. He got up to the altar and he couldn't get down to pray. But he sat on the front pew and he prayed. And there was a change in that man. And I say, thank God. Thank God. Because sometimes, and I'm trying to find a hushing place. Sometimes we have to push ourselves. Anybody else want to say, that's me too? We have to push ourselves to get the Bible out and read it. To get down on our knees and pray. To call upon the Lord and meditate with Him for a few minutes of time. You say, but Roger, we're too busy. We're all busy. But there's nothing that is more rewarding than doing our part for the kingdom of God. Amen? There's time. As long as we have breath, we've got time. But time is running out. How many of you seen those hourglasses, right? And you flip them over and the sand starts going through there. Mine's getting pretty low. And I know, Ruby, you say you got shoes older than I am. But let me tell you, how many of you know tonight, let me ask this and I'll close. You know that you've already lived more days than you have left. Amen? Night's coming, Ray. Night's coming. And when my family gathers here with you in this church and my coffin is put up here, I don't want the preacher to try to tell them everything was all right with me. You know what I want them to do? I want them to tell my lost people, you better get right because your night's coming. And you better be ready. Tonight as we pray, we close this service in prayer. I hope every one of us is through a message like this, said, Lord, help me to do more. Because I really want to make a difference. I want to be that light. And yet, I'm not the light. I'm just a reflection of His light. But you know, in order to reflect Him, we got to keep our lives clean. And I have one last illustration, then I'll close, I promise. We're like the old coal oil lamps. Those things would give out a bright light until the globe got dirty, and you'd have to take it off and clean it and put it back on. When I say a bright light, now it wasn't an LED, but in a dark room it was a bright light, right? Every once in a while we got to go to God and say, Lord, clean me up so my light can shine to my family and my friends, and help me that I would have a greater desire to work than I've ever had before. Would you join us as we close in this altar of prayer? I believe that most of us need to be saying, Lord, help me. Because it's day right now. But night is coming. And I won't be able to do. Once we're gone, we can't do anything. We can't do anything. And I said I was going to close, but I've heard people say, and I hope I don't offend anybody by saying this tonight. I know mama's watching over me. I know dad's watching over me, grandma, grandpa. Folks, let me tell you. People that's gone, outstripped us and gone on, they're resting under the altar of God. If they could look back in this world and see what this world is going through and what you and I are going through, it would not be heaven. Heaven is a place where all the former things have passed away. And behold, all things are new. Amen? Join us tonight as we pray.
Going to a place where there will be no night.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Night is here.
That's what he said.
We are prepared and ready to work while we are here.
Yes.
In the day here. When night comes for us, we're going to move to a place where there will be no night. Amen.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? There never will be no night over us. All
yes.
Be
yes, that's what he said.
I praise God tonight. You know, here we face it every day. We as a matter of fact, the Bible says we're going into it. Amen.
Yeah.
We're not running from it. We're going face to face
toward it. Yeah.
And I tell you what, folks, we're going into that night, and death is coming. There'll not be no work there.
That's right.
We better work while it is day. While there's still life in us.
Amen.
And
amen.
Because when we go down, it's too late.
Yeah, amen.
People will be lost.
Yes.
But